Something wrong?
No, I'm fine.
No, you're not. What's wrong?
It's selfish.
I don't care. Mary drew her fingers across Anne's cheek. Please talk to me.
Where do I fit in? Do I have a place in your life, or...
I don't know. But I want to figure it out. I want us to figure it out.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anne smiled.
Okay.
Mary pressed herself into the cradle of Anne's body, warm and soft and full of life and full of love, and she drifted off into a deep and peaceful sleep. She did not dream. Epilogue.
Mrs. Valdemar, we're here, Sharon said. Mrs. Valdemar?
She heard Sharon but did not respond. Her attention was locked on their somewhat surprising destination, the first stop on what she expected, wanted, to be a brief but bloody campaign. Before parting for greener pastures, Manish proved his worth one last time and gifted her with a copy of the Booker hit list, noting in businesslike manner, Mr. Valdemar never directed me to destroy the list. She debated long and hard where to begin. She had so many options. Booker's father was somewhere in the wilds of Maine, inaccessible for now, and the boyfriend was out of the picture. Slaughtering him wouldn't carry the same weight. Starting here, with this unsuspecting old woman, would have the greatest impact. It would be brutal. It would be gruesome. And it would tear Rose Booker's heart right out of her chest. After all, every girl loves her mother. True, going after this particular target meant returning to Worcester, and that was a huge risk. The police, the state police, even the FBI, they were all eager to question her about her late husband's many activities, actual and alleged, legitimate and illicit. How quickly that all came out, she mused bitterly. Within the course of a few short days, Erkan Valdemar had transformed from a respected businessman and beloved philanthropist into a nightmare vomited out of the mouth of hell itself. A secret criminal kingpin who collected the bodies of his enemies and displayed them on meat hooks. One day he was a hero, the next a monster. And what did Isabel Valdemar know? Was she an innocent or an accomplice? The media asked, rather rhetorically. The stories managed to avoid saying anything flagrantly libelous, but the consensus was quite clear. Isabel Valdemar could not possibly have been ignorant of her husband's murderous ways. Would they ask her about his noble motives? Would they be receptive to her portrayal of a man who dirtied his own soul in the pursuit of saving an entire city from itself? Of course not. Why would they? Those in power were writing history now, and Erkan Valdemar was their convenient villain. She could sympathize.
Mrs. Valdemar? Sharon said with some urgency. Is that her?
A woman dressed in a drab gray bag of a dress emerged from the sad little storefront church across the street. She had a slight build, but the resemblance to Rose Booker ended there. Actually, this woman didn't look much like anyone, the former Isabel Valdemar thought, and yet the flicker of recognition she felt was undeniable. Every girl loves her mother.
Sharon?
Yes, ma'am?
After this is done, you may leave my service if you wish. I understand I have asked a great deal of you lately. I would not begrudge you if you decided to seek greener pastures.
Sharon pressed a button, unlocking the back door for her mistress. With all due respect, ma'am, she said, I'm fine right where I am. Erkan would not have approved of this. He always stood on the proper side of that thin line between retaliation and revenge. Retaliation, a practical tool of his particular trade, was driven by necessity. Revenge was pure self-indulgence, fueled by anger and hatred, promising only ruin for the seeker and for the target of his wrath.
before embarking on a journey of revenge, first dig two graves. That was Erkan's philosophy. But he was dead. His killer was not. Circumstances called for a different philosophy. Revenge is a dish best served cold. She stepped out of the limo and strode across the street at a clip, a crisp late autumn wind at her back. Her foot ached dully, but she was used to it. The limp barely showed anymore. She slid a hand under her long leather coat and grasped the handle of her husband's sword, or rather, the tanto it had become by virtue of losing half its length. And an image, startling in its clarity, crashed through the surface of her consciousness. Her hand, slicing into tender maiden flesh with a small leaf blade a hunter might use for skinning a catch. She could almost taste the distinct coppery tang of blood. Her mouth watered. Such images began to spring up unbidden in the days following Erkan's death, and she initially wrote them off as some bizarre side effect of the trauma, much like the nightmares she started having after his shooting. Not a night went by when she didn't replay that terrible day in her sleeping mind. But in time she came to recognize and embrace them for what the images truly were. Memories. The old woman froze, the key to the church door half in the lock, and she turned. There was no surprise in her eyes, no fear. She looked somehow sad.
"Hello, Erzsébet," Mother said.
Isabel, Erzsébet, shuffled to a stop within arm's reach, within striking distance of the old woman. It would be so easy to open the bitch's throat and let her bleed out on the sidewalk.
"Hello," Erzsébet said. "I was wondering if I would ever see you again," Mother said, with a subtle but telling emphasis. "I was wondering if I would ever see you again."
"Were you? Wondering, I mean, not hoping?"
Erzsébet's eyes darkened.
"Not dreading?"
"Wondering," Mother gently insisted. "You must have questions." Erzsébet nodded stiffly, as if entranced.
"Oh yes, a great many."
Mother returned the church keys to her pocket and held open the door.
"Come on then, Erzsébet," she said, waving her guest in. "Or do you still prefer to be called by your title?"
"I do."
"As you say, Countess Bathory."
The women stepped inside. Erzsébet locked the door behind her. This has been Well-Behaved Women, Awakening. Written by Michael C. Bailey. Narrated by Darcy Cole. Copyright 2018 by Michael Bailey. Production copyright by Michael Bailey.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.